I think that everyone out there who is interested in politics and everyone who isn't needs to become interested in politics, because this is very important when we have a presidential election and all of the other offices that are up for grabs on election day. It can really shift American politics. As we look forward, people need to take a look not at these national polls that get so much attention, where they have some bearing on what's going to go on, but we have to remember that presidents aren't chosen by the popular vote. I think Al Gore can attest to that, that the popular vote isn't where we make our decisions for the presidency. So listeners should really take time to take a look at some of those swing states, the states are up for that are up for grabs, and look at some of those electoral college maps where you have states like Florida with so many electoral college votes where we're not sure who may win Florida. We see that Trump is taking a lead in Ohio, but it's not a completely done deal. And you have other states that are starting to be up for contention that maybe hadn't been up for contention in the past. So it's very interesting to look at these state by state races and to see where are the candidates going, where are they spending their money on ads, and where are they sending their top flight surrogates, because that shows you where they have concern and where they want to solidify things.
So explain to me right here, how is the Electoral College vote determined?
The Electoral College vote, the number of votes that each state ends up getting is based on the number of people that they send to Congress. So it would be the number of House of Representatives districts, as well as the two senators for each state. So we have a few tiny states that may have as few as three Electoral College votes. And then you have states that are in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and those are the states that really can determine the election. In every state, except for Nebraska and Maine, you end up having winner-take-all elections. So we end up having basically many presidential elections in each state. When you go to Nebraska, you go to Maine, they end up doing proportional representation based on the number of electors that those states have.
So back to the popular vote, where it does seem to matter is in electing senators and representatives, and that addresses the balance of power in Congress. What are we looking for?
Well, right now, the way the polls are basically falling out, it seems like there's a good chance that the Democrats could end up taking a majority in the Senate. It's not a done deal, but it's definitely the prospect is there. There were a few moments throughout these last few weeks of the election, particularly before the FBI director's announcement last week, where it seemed like momentum may have gotten the Democrats kind of following Hillary Clinton's coattails and maybe being able to take an advantage or take a majority in the House of Representatives. Right now, polls are showing that that may not happen, but everybody does need to keep an eye on the House of Representatives also, because if there's a shift in power where maybe the Republicans are still in the majority, but it's a much weaker majority than what they've had previously, then Speaker of the House Paul Ryan could find himself on the hot seat because there are so many divisions in that Republican majority. And I think a lot of that is determined by who wins the presidential race. If Hillary Clinton were to win the presidential race, you may end up seeing a little more dissension among House Republicans. Whereas if Donald Trump wins, they may kind of feel the wind at their backs and decide that they want to work together, at least for this go round.
So after the election is done, maybe not Wednesday, but it takes, you know, time till next January, until inauguration, new Congress is seated and all of that. What do you see going forward?
Going forward, it's going to be really interesting, particularly when we look at things from a partisan perspective. Depending on who wins, each party is going to have, I guess, a little bit of house cleaning to do. If Donald Trump were to win the presidency, among the Democrats, there's not as much division as what we've been seeing through this election cycle on the Republican side, but there is division. You do have the progressive wing of the party that's much more in line with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and some of those folks. And they may say, well, if Hillary Clinton doesn't win, well, it's time for a new direction. And then they would have to deal with things with the more establishment wing of the party. If Hillary Clinton was to win, there still would have to be some reconciliation to move forward to make sure everybody in a Democratic Party was behind her and her new presidency, as we kind of leave an era where President Obama had put together a pretty big and strong and diverse coalition. On the Republican side, the divisions may end up persisting regardless if we see a Trump victory or not. It's just that we're going to have to see if he were to win, maybe it would be lessened. But you have a Trump wing of the Republican Party. You have the Tea Party wing. You have the establishment wing. And depending on who you talk to, there could be a number of other kind of sub wings of that party. If Donald Trump ended up losing and we ended up seeing shifts of power in Congress, then certainly across the country on a national level, we may see kind of a party reformation. And things on a state and local level are a little bit different, so it may take a while for things to trickle down there. But partisan politics certainly will be changed by this election, and we'll have to take a look to see how these parties react on the Wednesday and the Wednesdays to follow. Mm-hmm.
So looking at the next 4 years, the party gets elected, whatever the balance of power, but, you know, the president gets in. What do you see the parties doing internally over the next 4 years to look at the status of where they are and how do they get ready for 4 years from now?
Well, it would behoove both of the parties to take a look at the shifting demographics in the United States of America, as well as to take a look at some of the bubbling political movements in the United States of America. Because as we look forward in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, things will look different. We're seeing communities of color growing, and we're seeing other marginalized groups like the gay community in the United States of America, various immigrant groups, people along the lines of religion or not having religion, really standing up and demanding a seat at the table and demanding a say in various ways. And each one of the parties, it would probably work for them to take a look at some of these things as possible opportunities, as opposed to automatically taking a side or automatically deciding that, you know, we're going to let some people in, we're not going to deal with other people. Really looking and seeing, well, if you're a Democrat, how might be the best ways to connect with people who are rising in political power and rising in numbers? But also on the Republican side, after each of the most recent big elections, we've heard the Republican Party say they need to do audits, that they need to be more inclusive, and then they kind of revert to not being as inclusive, and it ends up sometimes hurting them on a national level. They figured out paths to victory on a state level and local levels, but all of these things catch up over time. So both of the parties probably want to get ahead of that and really deal with what America is going to look like, as opposed to what it looks like now or what it looked like in the past.
Do you think Bernie Sanders had a better handle on that? And what does the Democrat Party need to do in the next 4 years to assimilate that significant population that was for Bernie Sanders that may or may not have switched over to Hillary Clinton?
Well, then Bernie Sanders had a good grasp on the progressive movement, particularly among the white majority in that progressive movement. He never quite figured out how to connect with communities of color. He never quite figured out a way to build that bridge between people who you would think, when you talk about issues, that progressives, as well as some progressive people of color, would end up being in the same camp in terms of white progressives and progressives of color. But he never really bridged that gap. And there's still some divisions there depending on, okay, well, what are going to be the priorities? So I think that both the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party, as well as that Hillary Clinton wing of the party, they have some reconciliation to do, because there's a lot of baggage there. When you start to talk about the 1990s and the 2000s and the ways that the Democratic Party had basically gone into communities of color to get out the vote and to motivate people to simply vote, but never really engaging on a long-term basis at the level that many leaders in those communities wanted them to. So there's work to be done to really solidify that support moving forward to the midterms and the next presidential election.
Well,
Anything else you want to throw in before the election?
Prior to the election, as would be the case with any election, listeners really need to remember just how important it is to vote, that they have to figure out a plan if they haven't already voted to vote and vote their conscience. If it's going to be Republican, if it's going to be Democrat, or if they're going to split a ticket, to definitely get out there and vote, because so many people have sacrificed so much over so much time for them to have that right and to have that privilege, that it's really important to express themselves. And people always need to remember that.